Welcome to Fresh Perspective, a podcast presented by Recycling Today. Featuring young professionals in the recycling industry, Fresh Perspective offers insights from the next generation of industry leaders. Guests tell what led them into the recycling industry, discuss emerging technology, and share their perspectives on ever-evolving industry trends. Fresh Perspective is beginning an ongoing dialogue with the future executives of the recycling industry. Hello and welcome to Fresh Perspective. My name is Tess Kasdan with Recycling Today magazine, and joining me on the podcast, we have Alyssa Knowlton of the Environmental Research and Education Foundation, or EREF. How are you today, Alyssa?
I am doing great, Tess. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I wanted to start off by asking if you'd give me a brief description of your current position at EREF.
Absolutely. So I am a project manager here at EREF. And if you aren't familiar with EREF, we are a nonprofit organization that focuses on sustainable materials management research. So those topics can range from anything like climate change impacts to PFAS and leachate treatment or advancing the circular economy. And EREF primarily funds this research through externally funded options like scholarships and grants. But there is also an internal research team, which I have the privilege to be a part of.
So how long have you been with EREF?
So I will be there for 2 years in May. I started as a data coordinator there and then became a project manager this year.
What are the differences between those two positions?
Not much. So there's not much differences between what I did as a data coordinator to a project manager. I now have someone who is fully underneath me, which is cool. So it's more just a manager position and a little bit more responsibility, but I still largely work on the same projects that I did as a data coordinator.
Got it. And then what, if you had to go through like a typical day for you, what does that look like?
Absolutely. So it really depends on what I have going on at the moment, like mini jobs. So, you know, internal meetings are true to discuss what current projects we have going on or get feedback on things that I'm doing. We do also, you know, have those external research projects, and sometimes I am incorporated into those. So, you know, external meetings for us to get updates or provide updates on current research that we're funding or being funded for. But honestly, beyond that, it's a lot of solo time and a lot of work, just me on my computer. You know, if we're in the data collection or analysis phase for a certain project that we're working on, it's a lot of spreadsheets and Excel. Or, you know, if we've moved on to the report writing process, it's a lot of report writing. So my days largely look the same. It just kind of depends on the projects that I'm working on.
Sure. Are you able to share the projects that you're currently working on?
Sure. So there is a wide variety kind of at the moment. One of the recurring projects that I work on is the Equipment Statistics Program, and that's with the NWRA. Any member of the NWRA can submit data for their manufacturing cells, from things like mobile equipment to containers and compactors. And so all of that data is sent to me and aggregated and anonymized. And I, you know, publish those reports on a quarterly basis to those who submit the data. So that's kind of an ongoing project that we're working on. We just wrapped up a fires in the materials management sector report, which has kind of been a long time coming, but that is actually up on the EREF website if you're interested in checking it out. We surveyed metal recyclers, transfer stations, and MRFs to see what kind of facility fires they experience and what's causing them and where they're occurring. And then one of the projects that I'm most excited about that I get to work on is actually a grocery store packaging project. So that's looking at grocery stores across the nation. We surveyed about 19 of them, and that meant like going into the store and taking pictures of each of the shelves and then trying not to get kicked out of the store as well while you're doing that. And, you know, then taking all of those pictures back, and then you're going item by item to identify what that grocery store product is and how many layers of packaging it is and the materials and format. That project has been a long time coming. It's, you know, it was in the process about 2 years before I even joined EREF and was kind of the first project that I came into. But it's been like the project that I'm most excited for sure.
So the grocery stores didn't have like prior arrangements to go in there? They didn't know you were doing that?
Not necessarily. I luckily only had to do, gosh, how many did I do? I think 2 or 3 of them potentially. So there was a lot of legwork done before I joined the project. It was just easier to go in and kind of ask for forgiveness if they were like, why are you taking photos? But I definitely, like, I haven't had a peaceful grocery shopping experience since. Like, I just can't go into a store without thinking. And I used to have like dreams and or nightmares about like all of the pictures of the grocery stores. And it was a labor of love, but we're really done with the data like collection process, which is why we've moved on to report writing. So I haven't really had to revisit all of the pictures in a while, which is good.
Understood. Did anybody get kicked out?
Not that I'm aware of. One of the times that I did it, we did have a manager approach us and was just like, you should have gotten prior approval. And we're like, we're kind of done. And like, it's a nonprofit research organization. You know, we're not sharing the photos with anyone and we're not like naming store locations. So we kind of just explained it and they were like, okay, just carry on. So
yeah. Understood. So then my next question is, what is your background in? So what did your journey into working at EREF look like? Where did you work prior? What did you study in school? All that sort of thing.
Absolutely. So my journey, like many others, has not been linear in the slightest. And this can get a little long. So I will try to give as much detail as possible, but also keep it moving. So I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and majored in biology with minors in environmental studies and marine sciences. So throughout undergrad, I volunteered in a coral ecology lab and like really thought I was going to become a marine biologist when I graduated. But when I did graduate, I accepted a position post-grad working at an aquarium in North Carolina. And that started my, I guess, journey / career of working in zoos and aquariums for 6 years, which is just crazy to say. when everyone heard that I worked at a zoo and aquarium, like the first thing that everyone thinks is that you're a zookeeper. Or you were like behind the scenes snuggling with the animals, which doesn't happen. And that's not the position that I had the privilege to hold when I was at those facilities. So I worked within the education department and really focused on informal education and how we could, as a facility, you know, spread our conservation and sustainability messages with the general public. So I primarily did that through running their teen programs, which like if you would have told me in college I was working with high schoolers for 6, I just never would have believed you. But it was like I hold those memories very near and dear to my heart. They were, you know, great groups of kids to work with. And I also did a lot of public programming, specifically at the aquarium. So you know, you as a guest of the aquarium would pay admission and then there would be free public programming like running throughout the day. And so that could entail like me standing on the floor holding a snake or, you know, with a microphone in front of the shark habitat and really just trying to talk to anyone who would listen to me. And so these were pivotal, I think, background moments for me to kind of transition into the current career I would like for the rest of my journey to go on, because in 2020 I did what a lot of other people did and I got my master's, or I started my master's program, And when I, it was all kind of based on community and conservation, and the your in degree is in conservation biology, but you can, you know, kind of pick what you want to focus on. And ever since I'd had experiences working at the aquarium, I was always very interested in a lot of the interactions that I saw, right? So like if I was giving a public program and everyone would be so excited with what I had to say, and then the second that I said anything about conservation or sustainability, they would just like leave. They didn't really care what you had to say, you know, not everyone for sure, but like the people who would walk away, I would get, I mean, maybe like a little personally offended, but also I was like frustrated. Like these are the people that I wanted to interact with and wanted to be able to communicate with. And so when I started my master's program, that's kind of what I was focusing on, is like individual behavior change. So how can you make these people want to make these changes? Like, how can you kind of get them to care about the environment and sustainability in a way they might not be thinking, and really kind of the self-efficacy of everything? And about a year into my master's program, kind of focusing on that topic, I realized that like most of the research out there says that it's really hard to do, and there's not some magic answer as to how you can get people to change their opinion. So I took a step back and began to wonder, like, why is individual behavior change required? And right, it's because a lot of times there's a sustainable option and a less sustainable option. Well, like, who's in charge of providing those options? It's the corporations, it's the cities, it's the businesses that are providing those services and goods. So certainly not groundbreaking, but I was like, oh my gosh, like if all of these services and goods can be provided sustainably, then there's no need for me to be studying individual behavior change. So I transitioned my master's focus kind of more into corporate sustainability and ESG goals and, you know, just kind of accountability within communities and cities that could have really those impactful changes. And really loved it, explored like a wide range of different topics and ways that sustainability could be achieved. And once I neared graduation, I knew that I wanted a bit of a career change, but really still wanted to focus on that sustainability and conservation background. Like, I really give the credit to zoos and aquariums for instilling that in me, but wanted to kind of take what I had learned throughout my master's program and shift into that side of a career. So I started applying for positions and ended up at EREF.
That's awesome. I think that's so interesting that you went from, yeah, working in aquariums and zoos. So you've already maybe kind of touched on some challenges. I know you talked about, you know, just pivoting in your master's program, but what other challenges have you faced in your career, maybe specifically since joining EREF?
Sure. So, I mean, I would say like the transition, like it was actually difficult and it was a challenge, but one that I welcomed, right? Like I knew that this was, I didn't see myself working in zoos and aquariums. High schoolers certainly would have grown tired of me like 10 years down the line. I was like, I know that this isn't going to be my forever career and journey. So I was really excited to transition into something like the position at EREF, but it was certainly still a challenge, but one that I really welcomed. You know, I had some knowledge of the waste space specifically just because of like the conservation that we talked about at the zoos and aquariums, but also because of my graduate studies. But like when you really join it, you realize that there's so much more that you maybe should know. And there are people who have been in, you know, it's their family business, or they've been in the industry for years, or have a really deep, like, technical understanding of things. And it was incredibly intimidating, if we're being honest, when I first joined. You know, there was maybe like some imposter syndrome. I was like, oh gosh, like, is this where I belong? But I've really always welcomed the opportunity to learn And so I think that really helped me adjust to the space, just really listening and taking in the information, but also having grace with myself to really just understand, like, I'm not going to know every single acronym that's being like thrown out in the room at the moment, but I will eventually, and really just allowing myself to go through that transitionary period. I think also a bigger part of the challenge was, right, like when I worked at the zoo, I was quite literally never alone. Like I was surrounded by like 100 teenagers at all times and, you know, walked miles around the zoo every day. It was a very active position. I was like exhausted every single day. To now, like I said, my days are extremely different from what I did previously, where I'm just like sitting with my computer all day. And now I love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I do not want to be sweating in the Florida heat like I did for 4 years at the zoo. But it was a really big transition to go through at the time. But like I said, one that I've really welcomed. Like I am so happy with where I am at now, and I'm still learning every day. So there's still challenges that I, you know, encounter as I become more and more familiar with this industry.
For sure. You mentioned having like a little bit of imposter syndrome or feeling like you did. I think that's really relatable. Do you think that giving yourself that grace and that reassurance is kind of what helped you overcome those feelings?
I think so. Yeah. And really just understanding that, like, especially everyone at EREF, like, they hired me for a reason, you know, and they had faith that I could do it, and they were there and willing to assist me when I did have any questions. So I think that also really helped as well, just to know that, like, it might be really scary right now, but like, give it a few months and you'll, you know, feel light years ahead of what you did when you started.
Yeah, definitely. So then given those challenges and the lessons that you've learned, what have been some things that you're most proud of since you've been with EREF, things that you've done or been a part of?
Sure. So, I mean, I still do feel like I'm like so new in, you know, my career, and there's still so much that I want to achieve. But I would just say overall, the work that we've been able to accomplish. So my internal research team that I'm a part of at EREF is all relatively new. We all started within like the last 2 years, and there was a bit of like departmental shift. And so because of that, there was kind of some backlogged projects. And, you know, at the beginning, there was really a push to kind of get some of these finished. And obviously we're all still a relatively new team. So I don't know. I would say there's still lots of things that I like really look forward to accomplishing, but I think we've been a very productive team thus far, and I think we're only going to continue to grow, but we've really been able to kind of like push EREF in the direction of getting a lot of these projects done over the last few years.
That's awesome. That's really impressive, especially since you said you guys are all relatively new. So then I wanted to kind of ask your like opinions and your takes on some industry challenges or trends. So you already mentioned the fires report that is up on the EREF website. I know that is a major challenge and issue impacting the waste and recycling industry. What else do you see as challenges or issues within the industry? You can talk more about fires if you'd like, or anything else that you have observed in your research.
Awesome. So I would say more specifically with my grocery store packaging project, I mean, really, like that was work that I had kind of dabbled in when I was in my master's program. And I just personally have an interest in like plastic pollution and single-use plastic. So when they said that the grocery store packaging project was going to be what I was working on, I was like, this is a perfect position for me. So that's kind of what I always default to because I also just have like a personal interest in it. So, you know, working on the grocery store packaging project, it's really hard to not be concerned about the waste that one single consumer is producing when they go for the grocery store trip, especially nowadays because so much of the packaging is specialized, it can make it really hard to properly dispose of it. So, you know, one of ERF's core missions is advancing the circular economy. And I think that that's really required to be able to handle these issues and challenges within kind of a packaging space. And I think furthermore, the grocery store packaging project has really highlighted the disconnect that is between the companies who are producing the items and the packaging and, you know, a landfill or MRF operator themselves, right? So the marketing team for this product is coming up with all of these like great ideas for the package and it's going to look so good, but like, is it recyclable? Or if it's supposed to be made from compostable materials, like, is it actually going to be compostable in all, you know, composting settings? And what changes can be made to the packaging to ensure it has the best in market available? And I just don't think that these are always conversations that are happening. And I think that they're so important for those connections to be made to be able to advance a circular economy. And I've also done a lot of work with EPR or extended producer responsibility. And I think like that, especially with packaging and new laws coming into effect in some states in the United States, like I think that will be a potential impactful force that will help to address these issues, you know, since packaging and single-use items just really keep increasing.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned the disconnect between producers and recyclers or MRF and landfill operators. I think there's also like a big disconnect between design for convenience and design for recycling yes. on the producer side when it comes to the packaging products specifically, because they want to sell their products, of course, but the most environmentally friendly packaging option might not sell because right. it might not be convenient for yeah. consumers. Yeah.
Or it might not be that pretty, or, Absolutely. You know, it might have too much recycled content. So it doesn't look the best. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting topic of conversation.
So then in your research, have you come across any technologies or equipment that you are interested in that you are kind of hoping to see more of?
Sure. So like there are so many technologies, but someone who didn't come from, you know, a waste background, like I am constantly surprised by the advancements. And this is where you really get into like the research and the like very deep technical understanding, especially with like chemical recycling and or bioplastics like that. I find it all so interesting, but I'm certainly not an expert on any of them. But one report that just came out that I found really interesting, once again, applicable to the grocery store packaging project, was through Closed Loop Partners. They just released a report about small format plastic recycling. So like water bottle caps or, you know, little plastic pieces that you would see on like a beauty product, and retrofits that you can make to a MRF to better capture these pieces of plastics that have largely been lost in the recycling stream and in markets, right? They'll just get landfilled or they're seen as contamination in a glass recycling setting. And they're trying to scale it at the moment and see, you know, it was kind of a research report done at a specific facility, but they're really trying to see like the practicality of expanding this. But I think things like that and those types of advancements are really interesting because you're not necessarily changing anything that the industry is currently doing. Like overall, it should be a pretty easy lift, right? You're just kind of refining what we already are doing to make sure that we're doing our best. And so I don't know, I think that's a really interesting, right? Like I don't need to have a PhD in this specific, you know, chemical recycling to understand it. So I think that's really interesting because it seems achievable and something that could be really easy to implement and have big impacts overall.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think you used the perfect word, refining. So then where do you see the industry headed in the next 5 years or so?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I know we've had lots of conversations already about EPR, but it really has been on my mind. I think it's a topic of conversation for a lot of people currently. And you know, once again, it just kind of goes back to what I was really interested in grad school as well, right? Like, if the businesses are offering these items, like, they should be the ones responsible for it or making it sustainably. And you mentioned the design for environment or design for sustainability. And a lot of people are skeptical, right, that implementing EPR policies can actually then create more sustainable packaging. But like, it does make sense, right? If the company itself is responsible for then handling the disposal of that product, like, they are probably going to find ways to make it more sustainable and cheaper for them to recycle or, you know, make it a circular product. So yeah, I'm really interested to see, like, in the next 5 years or so, as the few states that are trying to implement EPR packaging policies, kind of what comes of that, and also to see how other international countries or cities are implementing it, and kind of how we can translate that to hopefully successful EPR policies in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, what are your goals for the next 5 years?
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about learning. Like, I really hope to continue to learn more about the waste and recycling space. I'm sure there are still some acronyms out there that I still need to learn. And, you know, I'm so excited. I think it's a really interesting time to be within this field. And I'm so excited about that career change that I did make, and I really hope to stay kind of within the sustainable waste recycling circularity field down the line. So yeah, I'm just really hoping to utilize my position within the research space. You know, EREF is a really interesting organization in the sense that we kind of have a far reach with a lot of waste and recycling organizations, and so that puts us at a really cool intersection, I think, where we can kind of easily get some of the data, but we can also provide really unbiased research to the industry. And, like, specifically, obviously, I really want to focus on, like, packaging and EPR and corporate sustainability and responsibility and circularity. But, you know, I've had to also work on the fires report, like I mentioned, and the container or the equipment statistics program. So, like, I'm really just open to work on anything within the space to be able to, you know, gain as much knowledge as I potentially can.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think you're definitely right. I probably have a handful of acronyms I still need to learn. Yes.
Every time I feel like I have, like, a good understanding, I'm like, that's a new one that I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I am constantly checking, constantly double checking. So then the last question that I have for you, how do you think that the industry can work to recruit young professionals?
Absolutely. So, you know, when I first started my position at EREF, like, I had no idea what, you know, I talked about how people just assume everyone who works at zoos and aquariums are zookeepers. Well, I kind of had that bias coming into the waste field. I was like, everyone just works at MRFs and landfills. But that, like, that's absolutely not the case. And I'm constantly surprised at how many different fields, from operation to administrative to support to the engineers that are required, that are needed for the waste and recycling industry to thrive. So, I mean, I really just think that there's so many different opportunities for young professionals to get involved. Especially, you know, we've kind of talked about some of the more technological advancements and, like, you know, research and development and AI and machine learning, like, all of that is a really big space, I think, with younger generations as well. And if you can kind of incorporate that into what the waste and recycling industry is doing, like, it's a really cool intersection. And I will say, at EREF, like, as staff, we have the opportunity to get to know and hear about the students who were given EREF scholarships and the work that they are doing. And, you know, some of them are our master's students, so still pretty young in their careers. And like, it's so interesting to hear them be so interested in this space and be so technical and like really be able to see that they do have a career in this. So I don't know. I think like they're out there and it's just, you just kind of have to find them and find a space for them to fit into.
Yeah. Exposure and making sure that students, because like you said, there are like countless opportunities within the industry for students of very like diverse backgrounds when it comes Absolutely. To education. So yeah, I think making the industry known to students who are seeking, you know, jobs soon to be graduates or graduate students is definitely like the first step. Because like you said, I also had a very rudimentary view of the waste and recycling industry. I was not well versed in any regard.
Right.
And yeah, it's very, once you're in it and you see all of the opportunities, it seems obvious. Like, oh, of course, they're are all these different career options.
Right. And everyone yeah. plays such, you know, an important role in the overall industry that, yeah, and it makes you feel good kind of being in this space as well. I think younger generations, right, I mean, it's known that they're the ones who are continuously being more concerned about the environmental impacts. And I think that this is a really direct way to be able to get involved if you want that in your career.
I definitely agree. Well, that was it for me. Do you have anything else you want to say or anything you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you.